Katie asks, would you rather be known as the coworker that microwaves fish or burns popcorn?
Pick a side, stupid. Welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid, a comedy debate show that covers the important issues. Now, here's your host, Sean Carter.
Hey, welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid. We're going to be talking about jobs today. I'm here with Jacob Noble.
Hello.
And Sarah Morgan.
Hello.
And I'm just going to ask them a few questions about jobs that they've had. I'm going to talk about jobs that I've had. And I think this is like a fun one because it's something that everybody should be able to relate to.
I hope we all have jobs.
And if you can't relate to it, I don't want you listening to this show, really. If you're just some trust fund
Get
baby.
Get a job.
Yeah. So what was your first job, Sarah?
My first job, besides babysitting, which I don't really count.
That's an important job.
It was, but it was like my mom drove me there. I was like off the books. My first like real job.
You weren't getting a 1099.
Exactly.
For that.
Yeah, sure. I was just pocketing $4 an hour. Like
not
a badass.
Not all jobs claim taxes.
That is true, but especially not babysitting. But my first real job was being a lifeguard and a swim instructor and sometimes water aerobics instructor for my local YMCA.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I like how you guys always learn stuff about each other.
A
on
lot
these
of responsibility. It's actually one of my favorite jobs, too. I had the most fun doing that.
I mean, I'll second that. I wasn't a lifeguard, but I hung out with my lifeguard friends a lot in the summertime. Just
it's a great job.
Hanging out with them, you know,
oh,
watching movies on, like, the laptop.
I worked at an indoor pool.
You weren't at a beach. You weren't doing water aerobics at the ocean?
No, shockingly, no.
That would probably be better.
I filled in at the public community pool sometimes, and that was much better because you got to, like, sit on the tall chair in like the lifeguard bathing suit and blow the whistle at people. But
how much pee do you think is in the pool?
So much pee. Yeah. So much pee when I was
and it's a myth that there's a color changing device. They just tell you that to scare you.
They do have that, but it's super expensive. So you're never gonna put it in like a public pool.
Maybe Newton can afford that, but most towns won't.
Yeah, you'll find that in like Wellesley, but not around here. But yeah, when I was teaching swimming, like I had really young kids, so I'd teach like 3 to 5 year olds how to float and to not drown.
You hold the paddleboard and you kick your feet.
Yeah, well, mostly I would like have them hang on to me, and I'd like walk them around the pool so they could get used to it. And every now and then, one of them would just like close their eyes and kind of smile, and I'd be like, "You're peeing again, aren't you?" And they'd be like, "Mm-hmm."
Nice.
But you can't tell like a non potty trained kid. They're supposed to be wearing like swim diapers. That never happens. Their moms are always like, "Oh no." He's
in fairness, you're always taught to pee in water. What's in the toilet?
True, but I mean, I guess yeah, that was my least favorite part of that job. But they were very cute kids.
How was the spinning of the whistle? Did you learn any tricks?
I was really good at that. Yeah. And I feel like I was a good swim instructor. I mean, the worst part was like checking, like messing with the chemicals and stuff. Oh, and teaching adults how to swim sucks. Like I was like 17, 16 or 17. And I had like probably a 35, 40 year old dude ask me to teach him how to swim, which was weird, but he was paying me, you know, through the like aquatics program at the Y.
Did you have to hold him while he?
I had to hold him. So you could
just be like, stand up.
I'm trying to teach him how to float on his back, and you put your hands like under their back and teach them to not like tense up and like, you know, curl into a ball. But he like freaked out and curled into a ball like around my head. So I just had like this adult man like with his furry chest in my face like clinging to me. And I was like, I don't want to teach adults anymore. I'm going to stick to the little kids much better.
Sure. Speaking of little kids, did you have any Squints, Palidores, Wendy Peppercorn situations?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Sandlot. This is a reference to the Sandlot where the kid pretends to drown.
Oh,
so the lady lifeguard will put her mouth on his mouth.
No. I actually only ever had to drag 2 people out of the pool in all the years that I lifeguarded. It was pretty.
It's a good ratio.
Pretty tame. Yeah, it was 2 little kids. The
were
first
they still
one.
Were alive when you took them out?
Yeah, they were fine. I got them out immediately.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like wait around to see if they were going to surface.
That was a detail
like,
I thought was relevant to the story.
I had like, one
maybe
kid.
They're playing.
Yeah, one little kid was like a sinker. He just like jumped off the diving board. And had, like, never been in water before. I don't know who he was there
that
with,
was
but he just, like, went straight to the bottom of the deep end. And I was like, oh, this is not good. So I just immediately ripped him out.
I think you just found my new way of describing people. Sinker. That guy's a sinker.
I mean, that sounds like poops probably too.
Instead of
like
a downer.
Yeah.
He's a sinker.
But yeah, two little kids had trouble getting out of the pool. One of them was at the bottom, and the other one was just like thrashing around on the top. But they were both fine.
One of my first jobs.
Yeah. Tell me about your first job.
My first job, when you could legally get money as a child, was being paperboy. That was the only job you could do under the age of 16.
That, like 11 or something?
Yeah, I think I was like 10, 11 years old when I did it. And, you know, you did a little route in Stoughton up and down the street. If you really want to get my real first job, it was selling bike parts as like a 8-year-old. So my friend and I would
on
just collect. We would just collect like broken bikes and strip them. You would chop shop for
Silk
bikes.
Silk Road. For
yeah. And, you know, learning the hustle. But paperboy was the first one. Which my mom mostly did. I just rode and, you know, ran up to the door, dropped it off.
You'd get a ride.
Yeah, exactly.
She'd drive you on your paper route.
Yep. Especially
the
Sunday
mornings. How long did you do a paper route for?
I probably did it for like 3 years. Yeah. 3-4 years. Like, I did it for a while just because, like, it was easy. I mean, it was an afternoon paper, and then it was the mornings because it was the Enterprise. Wasn't the best thing. The one thing I do remember, and this is probably a crime, so if you can decide to post it. My friend,
I mean, it's your crime. Right?
It's my crime. I commit the crime. My friend and I won't use his name. I'll go down. We were big on Monopoly, McDonald's Monopolies.
Sure.
And remember when they used to put a board in the Sunday paper?
Oh, no.
And put two tickets on there?
Mm-hmm.
We cleaned ours. We took out every Monopoly board.
And did you get the
We won nothing.
Boardwalk?
We won a lot of free food. No way. We got a lot of free food, but we didn't
win. There was tons of free food.
Yeah, it's like
things.
Free Egg McMuffin.
Well,
I
mean, to your credit, like they say in the commercial, no purchase necessary. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't have to purchase them.
Yeah, you just get that.
I just happen to have them in my possession.
I don't know what that would be like for a crime. I know like.
Not mail fraud.
Right, because I know when I was a mailman. I know that people had gotten in trouble for like burying mail and burning it, and not like personal letters, but you know those flyers that you get every week.
Was there a lot of middle-aged women at home during the day when you delivered mail who would entice you to come in?
No, that never happened.
Is this
to me.
Like the beginning of a porn?
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's like. But I will tell you this: this is a true story. One of the guys that I was like covering his route. They're like, oh yeah, he's suspended, and I was like, why is he suspended? And they're like, oh, he was having sex with one of the customers.
Well, technically, he can't have sex with anybody.
Well, no, he got caught by the husband.
Ooh, that's different.
Yeah, and that dude called. And how do you call the post office and be like, hey, one of your employees is banging my wife? Like, how do you even make that phone call?
But I wouldn't be rational enough.
The post office pissed, and the guy got suspended.
That's kind
of. Then he's like, by the way. My package, is it there yet? After he yells and screams about it.
It's like the whole country is your customer. That really
narrows
your playing field. Like,
it's
how do you,
not, though.
I mean,
like,
it's not your route.
When it's like on when it's on like company time.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're like lunch break or whatever is, I mean, oh, I'm just going to take a break and like bang one of my customers right now. I will say, I started delivering papers when I was about 11 years old as well. And my mother would drive me sometimes. I would ride my bike a lot, but I know that I stopped doing it when I was about 15 because I know that the first time I ever got drunk, I had to deliver papers afterwards. Like I got drunk at home in the middle of the day with my brother.
And then you had to ride your bike.
People. Yeah.
Drunk to deliver papers.
Yep. My mother came home. We did not expect her to be home. And then I was like, well, I better get out of here and go deliver these papers.
Papers aren't going to deliver themselves.
And I fell. I fell off my bike.
You deserved it, Sean.
I did. So you went from babysitting to swim instructor and lifeguard. What else did you do in your youth before you became a software engineer or product manager?
After lifeguarding, I started working at a horseback riding stable.
Oh, okay.
And I did that until I left for college. So I did, like, I cleaned stalls. I, like, exercised horses. I grew up riding, just to, like, give that some context. I didn't just, like, pop in there one day.
Did the horses have to do water aerobics? Did you lead them?
I did not teach the horses water aerobics. We did sometimes, like, swim with them. You can like ride a horse into a lake and it will swim with you on its back, and that's fun.
Like fully like this, so they can't touch the ground.
Yeah, horses
they can
are
swim.
Like okay swimmers. Yeah, they're not like great swimmers, but their heads.
They just
will
doggy
stay.
Paddle. I get
and
it.
You're floating, like you're basically floating on this horse. You're not like weighing it down.
So you enjoy riding horses.
I love riding horses. Yeah, I taught horse camp. I worked at like a horse camp for kids with like different kinds of disabilities. That was like a therapeutic riding center. So lots of animal related stuff.
Where the hell was this horse camp on the camp debate?
Yeah, I don't know.
I worked there. I didn't go to it. So I don't know if that counted.
Okay.
So was the time that you got to ride horses and make them do water aerobics, was that worth shoveling shit?
I didn't mind shoveling shit because I just liked being at the stable and being around the horses, and like my friends were there. It was okay. It was a pretty good job.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I couldn't handle the farm smell after a minute.
No?
Oh, yeah. It didn't bother me at all.
But I feel like you just get used to it, you know?
Yeah.
I guess so.
I mean, I grew up around it, right? My grandpa had a farm and he had horses and cows.
So people could
stuff,
just fart and no one have a clue.
Oh, that's a very different smell, Jacob.
More fresh.
You can tell a fart smell from like horse poops.
Yeah, I've never gone near like a horse stable. At, like wherever, a fair, you know, and been like, oh man, somebody had Burger King in here. Which
farts,
one of you horses?
Though. Horse farts are gross.
Yeah?
Yeah. Horse farts are really gross.
What's
do they neigh and wag their tail and laughter? Like laugh?
No, but they
and then do other ones
they
neigh?
They raise their tails up in the air, so you know that something's about to happen. One of three things.
Do they ever
pee, poop, or farts?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that right.
You did. Good job.
Do they ever... do they ever poop when they mean to fart? Or you wouldn't know.
They never
tell you, like,
know,
oh, I thought that was...
He looks over to the other horse. He's like, "Rrr."
I forget they don't, like, sit. They don't, like, squat like dogs do. They just kind of...
Some horses squat when they pee, but it's, like, a different kind of squat. They just, like, spread out their rear legs in a weird way.
Well, they don't want to get pee on their hooves.
They don't want to get splashed. Yeah, it splashes a lot.
I saw a horse pee once, and I was like, oh... I finally get that expression now, hung like a horse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you didn't
see... They, like, unraveled for it.
Oh, you want to know the worst part of working with horses? Is that you have to clean a male horse's sheath, which is, like...
Explain what a sheath is.
A sheath is the skin on their penis that, like, stretches so that it can, like, retract back into their body, essentially, and then... So you have to, like, pull it out and clean the skin around it because it gets, like, a waxy buildup and, like, dead skin and stuff. And they make special
soap. So it's their version of schmegma?
Yes, it is schmegma. I would say it's the same exact stuff.
Horses ever get excited by that, or are they just like, clean
it? I only ever worked with geldings, so they don't get excited about anything.
It is pretty impressive the size of their penises compared to their hands, you know?
Yeah, it's true. They're huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have enormous penises, and cleaning them is disgusting, and it would make me, like, dry heave while I did
it. So you get to swim with horses and clean their penises.
Yeah.
Any other weird jobs?
Female horses,
you
have to clean their parts.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out
when I'm
not
going to continue on this track, because it's really gross, but just saying.
You have to clean the female horses?
Yeah. You have to clean their stuff, too.
Okay.
Is it true the female stalls are dirtier than the male stalls?
I'd never noticed that.
Well, it's true in real life.
Yeah. I think horses are just kind of equal opportunity. They just, like, pee and shit all over their stalls.
When the female horses pee, do they hover?
They don't have. They pee standing up, actually. Oh, okay. So, yeah. They've got that down.
But do their hooves come off the ground and they hover? Or?
They do not.
What was your favorite jobs? Because I'll tell you mine and let you guys stir in the brains what your favorite one was.
Yeah,
I'm sad that I don't do it anymore, and I could still do it.
What was your favorite job?
It's a combo of either working at Gillette Stadium or working at the Tweeter Center. Cool. The
Xfinity
Center.
Oh, what did you
Center.
Do there?
I was a beer stand manager both times. Well, I started off as a fry cook.
So you just like fucking people.
Yeah. No. I mean, honestly, so it's the easiest job in the world. I'll explain it. But I was a fry cook. Then I moved up to the grill.
Okay.
Then I became a stand manager for food. And when I turned 18, I could sell the beer. So I never actually served beer. I would just be the stand manager. So basically, I count the cups before the day starts because that's how they count kegs. It's just how many cups.
That's a cool job, like, though.
But because I didn't do it. So during the concert, I did nothing. I was there before the concert, set the stand up. And at the end of the night, they all count the money. They count the cups. I verify their counts. I, you know, they give me the money, they take the rest in tips, they divide it amongst themselves, and then they turn around and give me some. They usually give me, you know, 20, 25% of the tips. But I used to get into Tweeter Center concerts. If I couldn't get tickets, I would just put on my red shirt and my ID badge, walk through the gate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Go to the bathroom, take off the shirt, put it in the backpack, and then go stand on the lawn.
It's pretty good. Pretty good deal.
You still have that? Oh, it's not the Tweeter Center anymore.
Yeah, it's
Yeah, I think probably the best job that I had in terms of like just being there and enjoying being there was probably when I worked at a grocery store, because it was so low pressure. Like, you know, I had almost zero responsibility when I was a cashier, but when I was like working, like bagging groceries and getting carts or buggies, as you might say, Sarah.
Hey, you got fans across country.
Yeah, if you're out in
your wagons
country, maybe you say buggy. But yeah, I used to have to go out and get the carts or whatever, and they wouldn't like be like, "Oh, you've got an hour to get carts." They'd just be like, "That's your job for the day."
Yeah, you're on cart duty.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Yeah.
The whole day.
I did that at Walmart.
Carts in.
Yeah. It's great. Great gig.
So
you ever challenge yourself on how many carts you can put on one?
Oh yeah, me and my buddy Mike did that. We were
and
like,
you had two of you. One guy's pushing the front to steer it, and you're just using all your muscle.
But we had so many put together that it spanned the entire parking lot. And this guy was like, "Hey, can you break these up so that I can leave?" And we were like, "Oh yeah,
these dumbass kids."
Sorry. And he like complained to our manager, and the manager was like, "What is wrong with you guys? Like, don't you understand that people can't leave if you're blocking every car with the goddamn
customers
an
can't come in,
wall.
Customers can't come out."
Dude, when you're like 17, 16, and you're working at a grocery store doing like the most menial job, you have to find ways to entertain yourself. And that's what we did. We would challenge ourselves with like how many carts could we push at a time. And they get heavy after
they
a
do,
while. That
yeah.
was the whole point. Is like,
and especially when you have to stop momentum. If you have the momentum going, I could push 30 carts today.
Dude, pushing carts in the snow.
Oh my god, it's impossible.
Brutal. Brutal. Middle of the winter, it's just slush everywhere.
That's why I like the Walmart carts, because they were plastic.
Pretty good deal. Yeah, I got like free stuff sometimes at the grocery store. We were in like a little plaza with other stuff.
Oh, like the hot food and stuff, like at the end of the night, they're like, you know.
Yeah, I once found a rotisserie chicken on a grocery cart bottom, and I just ate it like in the parking lot.
I wish
you
I didn't
stop
know
working
you.
Immediately.
I just stopped. Me and my buddy just ate it behind the building. Which makes it so much worse. We would go down to TCBY all the time and hang out with the girls there.
TCBY.
They just like give us free shit.
What happened to that? It was the country's best yogurt. Now it's not.
It was
it's
great.
Gone.
I like that place.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too.
But yeah, now it's gone. Yeah, you could go to the bakery and get some free stuff, or you know, whatever.
So wait, did you take your shirt off and go to the bakery and like ask for a free cookie?
That was TCBY. That's where all the ladies were. You'd go down there. And
that's where all the
stuff.
Ladies worked in my high school, too.
And now it's Mary Lou's. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, because when I was in high school, my friend Crystal worked at TCBY, and she had just moved from, like, the Boston area. And we got there, and she's like, "You guys want some Jimmy's?" And we're like, "What the fuck is she talking about?" And she, like, refused to call them sprinkles. She was, like, adamant that we all...
No, they're Jimmy's.
No, they're not.
Yes, they
Tennessee.
Are.
Nobody in Tennessee. Jimmy's are condoms in Tennessee.
No, aren't they actually trademarked Friendly's Jimmy's? I think Friendly's has
be.
A trademark
well,
of them called
TCBY.
Jimmy's.
We did not have Friendly's where I grew up either. Mm. There were no Friendly's south of, like, the Mason-Dixon line.
I have a lot of fond memories of Friendly's. But
last thing about the grocery store. So, best part of that whole thing is that is the... first time and only time in my life that I got laid off from a job and got severance pay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was 17, so it wasn't like a lot of
you
money.
You like you giving severance me money pay. To leave?
Yeah, they it wasn't a lot of money, but we got laid off in July.
Perfect.
So best summer ever.
17-year-old with like $500 for free. So we were like, "Oh great, yeah, I don't have to work." Everybody I worked with, we all threw our Star Market shirts in a fire together. We burned
them. That's very dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, you know, putting an end to that chapter of our lives together, you know?
What was the worst job you've ever had if the grocery store was the best?
Probably landscaping. I'd say landscaping is probably the worst
job. Even though it was
job.
Your friend's company?
Yeah, I mean, that was the reason why I stuck around for as long as I did.
Because
he had like four employees and I was one of them, and you know, but I mean that job could be fine at times, and you're riding on a lawnmower and you're just kind of like doing like one lawn that's like flat or something. Right, it's right. great. But when you're like digging a hole to plant a tree in the middle of July when it's 100 degrees and you're already on your 10th hour of work.
Right.
And every time that you push the shovel down into the earth, you just feel another rock.
Yeah.
That is a that shit ding, job. Yeah.
That sounds rough.
Yeah. So
that sounds worse than cleaning a horse's penis.
Debatable.
I'm going to write that down as a question that should be on the show tonight. Would you rather dig a hole to plant a tree or clean a horse's penis?
I feel like without context, that's going to be a weird
Look
one.
At you. You just got an extra point on the show.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is my question. Sarah didn't say to write it down.
You didn't
fair.
Decide to submit
that's
it.
Fair.
People are starting to show up. Maybe we should wrap this up before it gets noisy in
you have
here.
Yeah.
Any last remarks before we sign off?
Jobs, who needs them?
If you were like independently wealthy, would you work at all?
I think I'd do something. I have ADD.
I mean, what would you do as a hobby? Whatever your hobby is would become your job, right? Even if it was like
horse dicks.
I would.
All right, that's it for us this week. Enjoy the debate. We'll be back again next Monday. Next up is the debate. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. This week's show is about work, jobs, whatever you want to say. Yeah, boo is right, goddammit. But you're booing work, not the show, right?
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I've had a lot of different crappy jobs. Anybody here had crappy jobs?
Yeah.
Anybody here had a job that they loved? Okay. A lot of silence. 3 days in, you don't love that job.
No.
You need more than 3 days before you say that you love something. Anyways, we have a lot of questions tonight that have to do with shoveling shit. So I hope you're all familiar. We're going to do this bracket style once again, where you'll face somebody. Each person will face somebody in the first round, eight different matchups. And then we'll just go to second round, third round. Well, some of us will go to the second round. Some of us will not. All right. So I'm the judge of this thing. I'm the only judge. And when you agree with me, I would like for you to cheer. Give that a shot right now. All right. And, you know, I'm human, so I make mistakes sometimes. So when you disagree with me, I would like for you to boo. Give that a shot.
Okay. Come on.
All right. And if you boo me hard enough, nothing will happen. So keep that in mind. Okay. First up tonight to debate, could we please have Sarah Morgan and Jacob Noble? Yay! Okay. Sarah, do you want to go first or second? Jacob, your question is from Katney. She asks, should you choose your work poop bathroom to be the one nearest your desk or the one furthest away?
So for my job, I'm a property manager, and I take pride in pooping in every single toilet that I manage. I poop in a different toilet every different poop. Also, I guess I'll take the furthest from my office because I do walk the furthest from my office. I don't need people knowing my bathroom schedules. I mean, I got enough embarrassing stuff at work already. You know, they know I'm an alcoholic. You know, they know I come in late every day. They don't need to know my bowel situation. So, yeah, I'm going the furthest in my office, pooping in a different toilet every day. And I do go in line. That stall, the next poop is that stall, then that stall. Then I go upstairs, the next bathroom, that stall, then that stall. That's how I know what's going on in all these bathrooms, everybody. I got to manage the buildings.
So in my office, if you go to the furthest bathroom, everybody knows that you're pooping. Because you actually have to leave and then come back in using your key fob, and that sucks. So I would prefer to use the restroom closest to me. And also, my bathroom breaks are often to cry when people are screaming at me at work. So, like, having it close and right around the corner is really helpful because you want that to be discreet. Like, I need time to compose myself, like, wipe the mascara out from under my eyes, take a few deep breaths, and then go back to my desk, and hopefully nobody's noticed that I've been missing for, like, 15 minutes or so.
I agree. If I'm going to cry, I want my peers to know I'm sad. So, yeah, I'll use the closest bathroom. But I'm talking about shitting here. I'm doing everyone a service by walking as far away as I can. Use that bathroom on the vacant floor. Where else am I going to take a 15-minute shit and play two dots until I complete the mission? I can't do that at my desk. Everyone's going to see that. So, yeah, I go furthest away. I poop in a toilet when no one finds me. And I spend 15... The lights go off, and I got to jump up, pants down, wave. That's my situation.
I think that our pooping experiences are very different because the lights never go off when I'm in there. It's quick. It doesn't smell that bad. And then I'm on my way. And that's actually, like, I probably spend more time in there just, like, wandering around and hoping that I don't have to talk to anybody than anything else. It's like a time killer for me. So having it close to my desk is great. And also, like, I'm pretty lazy, so I don't want to have to walk super far. And again, like, if I leave, then I might not be able to get back in if I forget my key fob, and that's embarrassing because then I have to knock on the door and be like, sorry,
done.
I was pooping.
All right. I gotta hand the way to Jacob Noble. Also, my favorite part of that debate was when Sarah was like, when I go to the bathroom, I'm not in there long enough for the lights to go off. And somebody over there just went, what? The next match will be between AJ O'Connell and Corey Saunders. AJ, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Corey, your question is, would you rather work sorting mail in a basement or as an iron worker 300 feet up on an I-beam?
Heights are fucking terrifying. And that's a good way to die. I choose the basement because you can get into illicit activities in a basement. You know, you sort a little mail here and there, maybe put on some gangster rap because, you know, you're white and you're from the north side of town. And maybe, just maybe, you find love. And you get to experience that love over and over and over and over because it's dark and no one else knows.
Yeah, but if you work in the mailroom, how are you going to kill yourself? I would like to quote Corey Saunders and say, it's a good way to die. If I'm working either of those jobs, I'm not going to kill. I just like to know it's there as an option.
What you don't understand, though, Pumpkin, is that I'm such a narcissist that I'm not going to kill myself. In fact, if I died, I'd try to bring myself back because I love myself that much. So I'm not trying to fall off no high beam, okay?
Agree to disagree. If I worked in a mailroom, I'd definitely want to kill myself. I might like working on a high beam, so I might just enjoy it. I would only want to kill myself if I couldn't kill myself. So I need to know that I can kill myself. That's very comforting to me, and that's an environment I would like to work in.
All right, I hand the win to AJ O'Connell. Next up, everyone, please welcome Katie Baker and Anthony Massa. Okay. Katie, do you want to go first or second?
Second.
Okay.
Okay.
Anthony, your question is from Sean Clark. He asks, what's the more dangerous job, lumberjack or drug dealer?
That's easy because I've done both, you guys. And let me tell you, I've sold a fair bit of weed and I've cut down trees all the time. And you know that little ball of anger you have inside you? It makes it super easy to cut down trees. But when you're flinging that axe around, there's wood coming from all sides hitting you in the face. That's really dangerous. The thing with selling drugs is, I don't know if you've ever seen Goodfellas, but Henry Hill says it. You don't snitch on your friends, and you keep your mouth shut, and nobody gets hurt. It's super safe to sell drugs, you guys. Shut up. That's all.
It is not safer to sell drugs because drugs are all about deals. And being a lumberjack's all about making cuts. If you make some bad deals, you might get cut. That's a problem.
Now, I know it's a debate, but I will agree with Katie on one thing. If you make a wrong deal, you will get cut. It's the price of business, okay? So don't break the rules. You won't get hurt. It's the same with our modern society. We have laws for a reason. So if you follow the rules, you won't get hurt. So you cut down trees, it fall on your head. And timber, you ever heard of that expression?
Time.
Follow the rules from the drug man? I question his logic. You can't sell drugs and follow rules. Dangerous.
All right, I hand the win to Katie Baker. Next up is Ted Pettengill and Ryan Dooley. Ted, do you want to go first or second?
Yeah, I'll go second.
Can we cut in the applause that I just got on the walk-up? Just later.
I'll put that after the first thing that you said.
Fair enough.
All right. Your question is from Zach Jones.
Zach Jones!
He asks, better way to steal company time? Stealth napping or prolonged bathroom breaks?
Well, that's easy peasy Japanese right there. The prolonged bathroom breaks have already been established by all parties previous to me here. I think the best way that you're going to steal company time is to be doing something for yourself. Evacuate your bowels. Cry if you need to a little bit. Wipe the mascara. Wait until the lights go off. Have a party in there. Somebody walks in. Bam, I'm just doing a little dance. It's just what I do all day. Enjoy that, Ted.
I've stolen a lot of company time with prolonged bathroom breaks, and it's overrated. You go in there, you sit down, you take your poop, and then you just sit there for another 20 minutes reading your phone with your elbows on your knees, and then your legs go numb, and then you go to stand up, and your just body gives out, and you fall, and you smash your face, and then you got to explain to your manager at BJ's why you were in the family bathroom to begin with. You're not a family. You're just a guy making minimum wage. How could you ever have a family? You're poor and no one will love you. Even if you are making your half of the rent, you're still not an equal. So I'm saying if you can sneak a nap in, feel recharged.
I feel that my response includes your response, sir, because at the end there, once you've done all the glorious things needed to do to have a poop that will kill time, and then you pass out on the floor, bam, there's your nap. Guess what? Roll in, get yourself a twofer, and call it a goddamn day. Goddamn.
I feel like we're cutting wrestling promos. That's not a nap. It's not a nap if you're... if it's concrete induced. I've taken a nap on concrete before, but it was hangover induced. And what I'm saying is, live your truth and sleep on the job, especially if you're a forklift operator.
All right. Hey, here the way to Ted Pettengill. Next up will be Sean Clark and Jeff Medoff. Jeff, your question is from Katie Dungar. Katie asks, would you rather be known as the coworker that microwaves fish or burns popcorn?
I'd rather be known as the microwave popcorn guy. Because that's totally understandable, because no one's ever successfully made a bag of popcorn. Like, it's either been burned or you wind up with, like, a buttery maraca. So you have to go with that because that's just so much more understandable. Fish is just stupidity. Like, if you're the fish guy, you're just a piece of shit who you care about. You're on some, like, paleo diet, and you don't care about the rest of the people on the floor. And it's a choice. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm kind of what you would call the office bad boy. Which is exactly why I am microwaving fish every fucking day. Because you know what? Fuck your allergies. Fuck your feelings. Like, I don't care. Like, it's 2018. I know people have allergies to gluten and fish especially and get hives. I'm like, I'm just establishing dominance. I don't know what to tell you. If you don't like it, step up or get the fuck out of the way. And I work in HR, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to complain to me. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a really compelling case, but I think we're going to side with me. Mm. It's like, smell my trout. Literally, not metaphorically. I'm not a pervert.
Did you say you bring trout for lunch? Do you make trout? Can you respond? No, you don't have to.
Yes.
Okay. That's just too aggressive. That's all. I mean, I just think you should, if you're in HR, you should respect other people. That's really it. I don't know what else to say, but I admire your commitment to your health, sir. It is sexual. Okay.
All right, let me just explain that with this. Diversity and inclusion is a big part of HR. We like to have people from different backgrounds working in our office. We want to have people who eat different types of fish within our office. So I think it's really important to move beyond like tuna salad and salmon. And I just think that as an HR rep, I mean, burning popcorn is really the worst thing because that's a fire hazard right there. It catches on fire. Then you have to deal with those OSHA motherfuckers. Occupational Safe and Health Association, like they're with their fingers.
Time. All right, I hear the winner, Sean Clark. Okay. Next up, everybody, please welcome Katie Baker and Sammy Anderson. Katie, do you want to go first or second? Katie, your question is from Sean Clark. He asks, you go into the break room, there are muffins in there, but you only want half of one. Do you slice another whole muffin in half, or do you take one of the halves that are already discarded?
I didn't know there was going to be math at this. So... if I have not yet cut one, but there has been one discarded, I'm gonna cut one because if I'm doing the knife work, then I've earned my portion of the muffin loot. So yeah, I'll take a knife to them.
Okay, so I'm going to eat the half of the muffin that's already there, which is fine. I'll eat whatever muffin is there. That's relatable. I mean, it works for me, too, because I'm actually a nanny. So I would have cut the first half of the muffin anyway and left it for future Sammy. But the best part about it is that, like, the kids that I watch are healthy. Like, their parents make me feed them healthy things. So I would eat the muffin that was already there in front of the baby and laugh while he ate a whole grain English muffin, and that would make my day worth it.
In this company, it's the company break room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be putting my foot down as a forward-acting member of the team, showing that I do the physical altering rather than just taking what somebody else has cut. Yeah, that's final answer.
You make a great point that someone, okay, so maybe I didn't cut the muffin for the sake of this. So in the workplace break room, aka the kitchen, maybe the mom has left half a muffin and I'm still going to eat it and blame it on the baby. Thank you.
All right, I got a hand in the wind to Sammy Anderson. The next debate, could we please have Rick Canavan and Sean Clark? Yay! Rick, do you want to go first or second? Okay. You're on second?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sean, you're going to go first. All right, so your question is, would you rather work as an architect for a salary of $40,000 a year or as a garbage collector that made $60,000?
So I would choose to be the garbage collector making $60,000 a year because living in Boston, architecture, garbage, like, what's the difference, really? Like, you're paying $2,000 for, like, 100 square feet just to live in Somerville, like, miles from the station that no one wants to see. Like, come on. Like, if I'm going to be collecting garbage, it might as well be actual garbage and not white people with wool caps in the summertime that are talking about their next art project. Because at least eggshells and old shoes and takeout boxes don't talk about their shitty ambitions and think they're better than you.
Thanks, Sean. I would rather be an architect for $40,000 because, first of all, I go through my careers alphabetically. As we all know, I am an air traffic controller. That's what I do now. That's next, I think. And second, I don't think this is how you meant whoever wrote the question phrased it, but when you said architect for $40,000, I was like, $40,000? Yeah, I'll be a rich architect. Hell yeah. $40,000.
Also, I have to say, if I'm a garbage collector and I'm making $60,000 a year, it obviously means I'm going through all the wealthy neighborhoods because they're giving me that salary. But on top of that, have you ever seen the shit crazy rich people just throw away? Like, I would just have benefits from, like, just collecting. It'd be like getting their loot itself. Like, I feel like people are rich enough to pay their garbage and $60,000. We're like, oh, I'm just going to throw away my Social Security card because I can just buy a new identity if I really want to. He's like, I'm rich, I'm ambitious.
I'm sorry, did I hear you right? Was that a year? It's $40,000 a year? I thought it was cumulatively $40,000, and I was in. Every year I get $40,000 just for being a dumb architect? Oh.
All right, I hand the win to Rick Canavan. Next up, it'll be AJ O'Connell and Rick Canavan.
I hear he's going to win.
He might. AJ, do you want to go first or second?
Go second.
All right. Rick, your question is from Sarah Morgan. She asks, while commuting on the T, would you rather have someone in your car shit themselves or have everyone talking on their phones and watching videos with no headphones?
Okay, I think I get where you're going with this, but can you clarify what is a T?
It's like the subway, but in Boston.
Oh, okay, sure. So the options here are subway, someone has pooped themselves, or everyone's on their phone.
But like with no headphones, so you hear all of the videos that are playing.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I just like that. Have you ever like logged on to somebody else's computer and just, first thing, YouTube and watch history is right where I go, because I really like to see what weird things people are into on one of the worst media platforms that exists. Mine's all Let's Plays. Just it's 100% people playing video games that I was never good at. I didn't know Bird versus the Space Mutants had a level 2. I had no idea.
Uh,
I'm a stewer. I stew. I sit in it. Like, so if there's a situation, no, not the poop. I'm saying if there, oh, I thought that's what you were. That was what you're thinking. Yeah, it's all fine. So if there's a situation where like people are being like annoying, I just sit there and get angry and stressed. But if someone shits themselves, everyone's gonna be on my side. Like, I don't think there's anyone there who's gonna be like, no, he can do that. But if it's someone's just not using their headphones, I gotta listen to their shitty conversations while they're watching videos. That's really multitasking on that one. It's an amazing world we live in these days where you can do that. So yeah, I wouldn't want to just sit in it. So I picked the poop. Yep.
I love the idea of a subway train full of people watching YouTube videos. Dude, am I making this question my own at this point? Because I think it'd be a fun adventure to just walk around the car and just kind of get up nice close to people and just sort of give them a little look and watch something together. I think that's a fun thing. My wife and I do that, and I like to think that I get to take some of my home on the way to work. Well, this is a bad argument. This is
time.
Somehow you managed to take their shitty thing and make yourself the problem. You're the bad guy now. Just getting up close, like, oh, what are you looking at? Is that your wife? She sounds interesting. So, yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be on the right side of things. The guy who didn't poop. That's an aphorism. Words to live by.
All right. I'm going to hand the win to AJ O'Connell. All right. Jacob.
Pick whichever one of those you want.
This question comes from Kyle Mangan.
I'll go second. Dance with the girl guy.
Okay. I hate your handwriting. Hold on. It's your last day on the job. Do you burn the place to the ground or steal $300,000?
I would steal $300,000 because then I would have $300,000. Instead of ashes. If I want ashes, I'll just go visit my grandfather. But instead, I'd rather have money.
Sean, you idiot. You have no idea that it was your building the whole time, and you had insurance claim out. I know. I hate to break to you. $1 million. That's more than three times as much. You can check the math on that. You're going out of business. Got to get the money somehow. You can steal from your shareholders or $1 million. Either way, it's fraud, but like one way you're going to get away with it because arson gets rid of all the evidence.
Yeah, I don't know. I think just being near the fire would be kind of hot. That seems uncomfortable. And then getting, like, arson is a major crime. Embezzlement, it's like white-collar prison. Arson, it's like you might have killed a few firefighters, and everybody loves firefighters.
I'm going to, again, quote my opponent. It would be hot.
Got to handle in the AJ for that one.
AJ O'Connell is your champion. All right. Thank you all for coming and being part of the show tonight. We'll be back April 6th at Maggie's Lounge. And we're going to talk about Zach. What's our
U.S. Cities.
U.S. cities on April 6th at Maggie's Lounge, 7 p.m. So we'll see you then.
That was Pick a Side, Stupid. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show.